The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Glory to you, Lord. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. Very early when the sun had risen, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll back the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. On entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were utterly amazed. He said to them, "Do not be amazed. He has been raised. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he told you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter.
Oh, praise the Lord that it's here. Now, if you think about it, sometimes we, like the women who come to the tomb with the burial accoutrement, we come to church expecting a dead body in a tomb with a huge rock that still separates us from a dead Lord. We definitely do not speak this reality. But when we go through the motions or approach the Lord like he is a principle or a concept, instead of a living person, we are like the women when they approach the tomb that first Easter morning. They are cleaning up after all the chaos of the previous few days. They are going to do the right thing, go through the motions to move on from a dead movement, a dead idea, and a dead leader. They approach thinking this is their last act of devotion to the one they thought was the Lord. The Easter Vigil starts in darkness to represent the nothingness from which we were created, and the loneliness of the disciples who gave their lives to follow someone who ended up dead on a cross, laid in an empty tomb. Yes, they scattered. They scattered and abandoned him. But they were public with their following. They left their nets and followed. Now what? Now what? Everything about this death is just crazy and mixed up. It is a Roman centurion who's supposed to guard the dead man on the cross who confesses that the dead man is God's son. In the Gospel of Mark, it's the centurion who says, "Surely this man is the Son of God." He says this as he hears Jesus' last breath. It is one of the guys from the council that decided to kill Jesus that buries him in a freshly hewn tomb. The disciples who were closest to him flee, and they stay away. The women, who viewed from afar, come close to anoint the body with the spices the next day. It is a grave that comes to symbolize life. Finally, the response of the people who followed up until his arrest is fear. What a mixed up bunch of chaos. As we hear from the Genesis story, the Lord creates order from chaos. He created humanity in a garden. There was no death. We Christians seem to forget like the disciples at the cross and the empty grave, that death is foreign to what it means to be human. Did you hear me, people? Did you hear me, church? Yes. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Death is foreign to what it means to be human. Right, church?
Right.
Right. Thank you so much. We are people of life. God created us to be with Him forever. The original sin is to think that we knew better and could make decisions without Him. Let's see. That tree. Okay. I know He said, but you know, I'm looking at it. I'm thinking, you know, hey, it looks pretty good. The decision of Adam and Eve in the garden is reversed by the decision of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. The domination of humanity through killing is reversed by Jesus' rising from the dead. Where all humanity tends toward death, perversion, destruction, and sin, the faithful in Jesus tend toward life, sanctity, renewal, and faithfulness. The resurrection, my brothers and sisters, is the great reversal. Where power is shown in the world by death, exertion of power and killing, screaming and yelling and telling and rah, rah, rah. Power for those who follow Jesus Christ is shown by birth, love, and the renewal of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chance and sixth and seventh. It begins with the respect that God shows us, unbelievably so. He did not come demanding we change. He invited us to change. Come to the waters. Drink milk and buy without money. Come to the waters, says the great lover of our souls. He did not come with threats of power, but with an invitation to renewal. He did not come with leadership by chaos, so that everyone is left feeling an uncertain helplessness. I don't know about you. I've worked for plenty of bosses like that. Who knows what to do? Who does what? He came with a first step, a revealing that would guide the people as they were drawn toward Him. In the coming weeks, we're going to see the risen Lord draw all those who abandon Him back to Himself. Just like the Father waited for the Son on the front porch, looking every day until He came back. And then He killed the fatted calf for Him. Wow. A world leader wouldn't do that. They would go out and find new people. A world leader would reestablish a new base of power to overtake their former friends. An earthly leader would find a way to kill their careers, kill their opportunities, kill their families, and then even kill them. The Father in heaven, by reversing death, shows us that His way is to offer renewal after every small death. By small death, I mean every sin we commit. There is always a chance to change. Church, do you hear me? There is always a chance to change. Amen?
Amen?
There is always a chance to change. There is always a chance to be renewed and live a different life. The goal isn't to elevate Him and His power, but to renew us. The great reversal is that He served us on the cross to give us eternal life, as seen in the empty grave. He renews us and gives and entrusts us with his mission. Can you think of that? God entrusts us with his mission? Whew. His respect for us is immeasurable. Like the baby born in the manger, the empty tomb whispers a great proclamation. Death has no hold on us. Disrespect, no hold on us. Abuse, no hold on us. Lying, no hold on us. Cheating, no hold on us. Betrayal, no hold on us. These are the things of the world. These are the signs of power that crucify. These are the ways of the people who rely upon the things of the world, not on the power of the living God. The power of the living God of Jesus Christ is shown that when all these things were thrown at him, he got up, folded up the grave clothes, rolled the stone away, and went out to gather the people to renew the world. Once again, I would say the fact that we are celebrating this resurrection, his resurrection in 2024, is testimony to his resilience, his renewal, and his power to overcome. Amen, church?
Amen.
Even when we come to church expecting a stone in front of a tomb with a dead Lord, the Father in heaven respects us. He knows us. He knows our fragile ways. He knows that when I preach these words, they're not just for you. They're also for me. He knows my fragile ways, that I have to be reminded of the own words in my own homily. Jesus knows. He cannot come at us all at once in his resurrected body, stand before us and say, "Feel my hands, feel my feet." Just like in the Eucharist, he comes to us in ways that we can understand. He comes to us simply, humbly, out of respect for us. He shows us he's not dead in an empty tomb. He announces to one person, Jesus is risen. Then he appears to us throughout 40 days before he ascends into heaven to plead for us at the right hand of the Father. Hear our prayer. Then, after he has established the joy of knowing he's alive, he then sends us on the mission to renew the face of the earth. Lord, send out your Spirit, and we will renew the face of the earth. Lord, send out your Spirit, and we will renew the face of the earth. What this means for us is that we do not embrace symbols of power that the world embraces. A larger home, a bigger car, a larger bank account, a larger than life persona, an Instagram feed, a TikTok, a power base, people who carry our bags, the ability to tear someone down, the ability to fire someone, the ability to tell someone what to do. These are all signs of earthly power and are not what we are about. We are called to form a community that renews. We are to be, a people who shows total respect to those who get no respect and deserve no respect. We love those who are not loved and who are not lovable. We clothe those without clothes. We visit those who have no visitors in prison. We give to the beggar on the street. We house the homeless. We build bridges of peace. Most of all, we stop playing on the world's playing field. You know, my mama used to say, "Honey, if you got to play games, don't play by somebody else's rules." We seek the higher, more worthy calling. We do not stay in the grave. Not us. We are resurrected. We are transformed. We are changed to live the already, but the not yet. We live tangibly the kingdom of God that will one day be consummated when he comes again. But we today live that world in our community so that the world can see it. We are to be a sacrament to the world. The Easter people are those who lay down their earthly life as it kills them. They lay it down and pick up a resurrected life filled with power that cannot be killed. You may kill the likes of Alexei Navalny, but his spirit and his words will live on in someone. It's not that Christ is like Navalny, it's that Navalny is trying to emulate Christ. Jesus laid down his life so that we could live the resurrected life. Easter people rise to greet the world with mercy and forgiveness, which just sucks the power out of domination and aggression. It really does. It is a power that respects the disrespectful because that is what the Lord has done in the resurrection of the Savior from the dead. He offers his resurrected life to all of us in baptism and mission. Again, we are given the ultimate sign of respect by the Lord. The Lord of the universe. Think about that. When he wanted to renew the earth, he didn't just wave his hand, which he could have done. He could have done that. He asked us to renew the earth through him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. He entrusted us with his mission. He invited us instead of insisted on us. He invited us so that we would be renewed and then we would renew. The Lord is risen, friends. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is risen, friends. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has left behind the empty grave and invites us to leave behind the empty graves of this world to reverse the curse. Be renewed. To renew. There is one more thing that we did not expect when we approached the empty tomb. We did not expect that when we are baptized into Jesus, we get what happened to him. We get resurrected. We get resurrection. That was what Bob read in the reading from the Romans. We get eternal life. Sin no longer has hold on us. It cannot defeat us because it has been defeated. So, we live our lives as people who are living the first act with the best act to come. We live lives in Christ who had everything the world knows how to throw at him. And throw at us. It didn't work. And it doesn't matter what the world does, because we are Easter people. We are people of the great reversal. We are people who have eternal life awaiting us when we die. I am sure that the women who came to the tomb didn't expect that. And maybe we didn't either. But now we do. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia. Hallelujah, hallelujah. May God bless the preaching of the gospel in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.